I'll keep it. Make some noise! Is that they say?
You'll keep it nice and gully. All
right. As they say, make some noise! But yo, again, if you just locking in, this is episode 94 of Nothing Podcast. I'll destroy this pod later. You in the mix with your girl DJ Exclusive and my boy Clinton LG, Jersey City's own. And before we even get into the subject, I do want to remind y'all, my baby boy over here, he recently dropped a single. It's called Bear Witness. You can get it on all digital streaming platforms. And if you don't know what a DSP is, that is Amazon, Spotify, Apple. He on all of them shits because he, like me and almost everybody else, he is signed to DistroKid Records. All right. Yes. And I don't know if you updated yours, but if you go on my releases, like if you look at The Soprano or my new drop that I just dropped, I'm trying to catch the beat. It's an instrumental beat tape. Go ahead and rap on that. My shit say Nothing Podcast Records. You noticed that shit, right? So, yeah. Let's clap it up for me and Nothing Podcast Records. All right. So, I named this episode I'll Destroy This Podcast Later, because anybody that's a friend of mine, a fan of mine, listens to this podcast, watches my live streams, y'all know I call myself the female Joe Budden. Y'all know I love Joe Budden. That's actually one of the things me and LG used to bond on, because way back when he was kind of normal. And when I say normal, I mean like complacent.
Relative.
I mean complacent and into things that the majority of people within this hip hop space is into. He is not us. He's an alien. But there was a time he was like us, and one of those things that he consumed was the Joe Budden podcast. And he was actually one of the people that put me on before I go into my issues with the podcast and how I started with it and listening to it and then stopped. Do you want to talk about a little bit how you discovered the pod, why you started listening to Joe Budden's podcast, and then what made you actually stop listening to it and supporting it as a fan, especially since y'all both from Jersey? And I believe you've told me before that y'all actually kind of know the same people, and if you really, really try, you could probably get your music to them.
I mean, Jersey City is a big small town, or a small big town, however you want to word it. So,
and that's where he's from, Jersey City too?
Correct. Everybody, you know, if everybody don't know each other, everybody knows somebody that somebody else knows. So they might not know
you directly, but they might know me, and I know you. So that's knowing you.
Correct.
Got it.
That said, I've always been a fan. I've been a fan for, as far as like rapper Joe, for a minute. And when he started doing the podcast, I didn't jump on immediately. I was aware, but I didn't jump on. I kind of jumped
that
on.
That means, so see, this is probably around the time where he was becoming who he is today. Because what he just said is he was aware. He even fucked with Joe a little bit, but he wasn't about to jump on dick.
Yeah, I was a big fan of, like, the Mood Musics, the Quarter on the Loose, the Slaughterhouse Project. Like, I just as a rapper, and know anybody that know my music.
Rage Against the Machine, my favorite joint.
All of his Padded Room is probably mine. Mm-hmm. But he got, like, anybody that listens to Clinton LG can hear the Joe Budden influence unmistakably, period.
And what it is the wordplay.
And the introspection, mm-hmm, for me. But I got introduced to the podcast around the time a lot of people did, which was part
of the Drake rant.
Drake put out Views.
You hear that, Budden? You hear that, Budden? You did that podcast for almost 5 years, and niggas really didn't care until you started arguing with yourself, aka Drake.
But
continue.
I listened after that, and I started like gravitating towards just the podcast itself, the candidness and the authenticity.
Now I don't want to make you follow my narrative, because you got a joint that's gonna keep on going out, and I'm gonna smoke mad time, so you might want to hold on to your little joint. Yeah. I don't want to change narratives or get you off base, so remember where you're at right now. But I want to ask you, Rory and Maul, where were they for you as a listener of the podcast? Because you were listening in the Rory and Maul era.
I think their positions, as far as like how I felt towards them changed at different points.
Okay, so, but overall, do you feel like the podcast was better off with Rory and Maul or without? I know by the time they left, you were long gone from the podcast. You probably never heard that before.
I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who has no idea what the current dynamic
is. Ice and Ish is what he's saying. He's never heard an episode with them.
I'm also speaking, like, when I first started listening, Marissa was still on there and Maul wasn't. It was Rory.
So he was a day one-er, is what he's saying, because Marissa started the podcast with Joe. And he, before you continue, I want to say, Joe fired Marissa similar to how he did Rory and Maul. The difference is, he fired Marissa on Hot 97. He aired out all his grievances and why he got rid of Marissa. You can go and listen to that Hot 97 interview. It's still on YouTube. He aired out all his grievances with Marissa on a radio interview. And the way he fired Rory and Maul, he literally sat on the Joe Budden podcast and said, "Rory, Maul, you're fired. You're not walking back," all that. So that I felt like that's important to mention, because Joe likes to air niggas out in public and then still use the same public audience to act like they still cool, but this is what he had to do type shit. But continue.
So where was I guess that's a good segue. I started listening,
you were saying that you were listening to, you started listening to Around the Joe Budden podcast with Marissa. Marissa was on there, Maul wasn't even there yet.
I like the dynamic, because I don't know if it's the fact that me, Joe, and Rory are technically from the same geographical area.
Rory from Jersey City?
Yeah, if you're not from, okay. He went to St. Peter's. And I don't know niggas history like that, but Rory, like, the nigga
everybody
to the same barber as Niz.
And
like,
everybody's seen, shout out to Niz. Everybody's like, seen the picture of Rory when he was running track and he looked weird, and everybody know that Rory a Kappa.
I don't know where niggas stay now, but the point I'm saying is what gravitated me towards the podcast was, I don't know if it was the fact that niggas was from the same area, so like, the jokes landed different. Like, you know how...
Yeah, it's like geographical comedy.
Exactly.
Like, you know how based on your location. Say,
or even just topics in general. You know how when people just talk about certain shit that... You're not really going to know what they exactly the details of what they're talking about if you're not there, or if you're
that's
not
from there.
That's
where the whole moniker, "if you know, you know," comes from. Because people basically came up with the "if you know, you know," because they wanted an excuse to talk about shit that only resonates with their audience and people that live around them, and they still want to get that shit off. And I could say, as a retired rapper, one of the things one of the lines I have in one of my songs is, I said, "Everybody blowing whistles, but nobody's calling fouls. It's flagrant in the streets. No remorse for this child." That is a sports bar. But niggas didn't get it because whistles is a Baltimore slang. And when I was writing that song, where that lyric come from, I was in the moment of rewatching The Wire. And a scene popped up on The Wire where he's like, "You ain't having no whistle on you?" And then an episode later, Stringer said, "Well, what do you shoot the whistle for?" So it made it clear to me to know that whistle is a slang for gun in Baltimore. So I'm saying everybody shooting guns, but I said everybody blowing whistles. Like a referee.
Right.
They flagrant. Flagrant foul in the NBA is like an aggressive over foul. No remorse for the streets, but nobody calling foul. So niggas is being flagrant, shooting guns, doing whatever they want, but nobody's saying shit about it. That's what that line mean, but a lot, it went over mad niggas' heads just because they don't refer to guns as whistles.
Right.
Now, if I would have said everybody shooting guns, it wouldn't have hit the same. I have to use that word.
You getting into the technicalities. You getting into the technicalities of busting, like creating a metaphor.
So it's like, I lost my train of thought in saying that. But what I'm saying is, when you think about a Joe Budden, right? Rory and Maul, the whole podcast. I say the downfall of Joe Budden was, it started long before Rory and Maul left, but that personified his downfall. And that may be hard for you to agree or disagree with because you stopped following the podcast long before Rory and Maul left. So let me try to paint a picture for you before I move on. Mm-hmm. My favorite episode of the Joe Budden podcast is Unleash the Flutes. I, even in a space where I'm not really feeling him, I could watch that episode over and over and over again. They're going on and talking about how remarkable Jay-Z's song Blueprint Part 2 is. Hence the title, Unleash the Flutes.
I think I remember that.
And that episode, if anybody ever says that chemistry between Rory and Maul is what he needed, that's the episode that's going to show you how their chemistry was. Maul actually was talking. Maul wasn't. This was Maul.
Did I tell you I went to one of the live pods?
For 3 hours, this is Maul. Probably even at the live show that he went to, Maul was probably like this. That started getting on my nerves. Because as a person that does this and I take podcasting seriously and I'm in that content creation space, like, I'm not mad if your phone rings or you get a text message and you check it, you answer it, and you put your phone down, and then you tap back in. I am mad if you're literally, and I'm going to show LG my phone so it make more sense. This is what will make me mad. If we're talking, we're having a podcast, and this is you.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's trying to pass me the blunt, but I'm doing this. This was Maul. For almost 3 hours, I've seen Patreon footage. Now, if you don't know, Patreon is what people like me use to monetize your content. That's the best way to put it. Joe Budden releases mad Patreon content. In a Patreon episode, Maul had food delivered to him and he was eating the shit. Like, he opened the door for the Uber driver, sat back in his stool, and had a white styrofoam plate. I paid for that. And aside from that, it was clear tension. Rory and Joe seeming like they want to fight.
That tension been there for a while.
And then it started to be tension with Maul, which now, fast forward to the future, I know what that tension was. Maul tried to stand up for Rory, and it didn't go down the way that he thought it would go down, which brings me to a question that we could talk about later. So now there's tension between Rory, Maul, and Joe. The whole pod is awkward. They start giving you mid-ass episodes. Like, the episodes was trash. There was even one episode where really low-key, subliminally, Joe Budden and Rory argued the whole time. Like, if you know, you know. Like, if you know Rory, you know Maul, you listen to the podcast, you know how they give it up with the underlying jokes. You know, they literally sitting there arguing with each other, but they trying to keep it professional. Like, Rory had made a comment where he invited Joe to his hands. And Joe was like, now my brother wants to fight me. I just don't. You know how Joe always gaslighting and then trying to pretend to be a victim. Like, he don't understand why somebody want to fight him. That started happening a lot. And then Joe created the new slang that I now use. I'm going to teach it to you. That, you know, so many unsigned rappers. I'm going to say it right here because I've told Clinton this over the phone. The tequila making me tell the truth. I've told Clinton on the phone. I be on Twitter and a lot of people be tagging him. Hey, yo, Clinton LG the GOAT. I'm writing some fire. It's inspired by Clinton. Yo, the shit Clinton just let me hear was great. Yo, Clinton, you can get all the Casanova beats you want. You can suck his dick as much as you want. You can get him as many. You can have him body you on as many of your songs as you like. You're not going to be LG. You're not going to be able to spit that shit. You're not going to be able to hold dick like that. So they created a slang where a person like you, people always want you to listen to their shit because they're so inspired and motivated by you. They want to play their shit for you. Or they upload it. Like, they send you a link. Yo, my shit on DSP. Check it out, right? So you use the Joe Budden slang. That slang is, yo, I ain't even had the time to listen to that yet. That means it's garbage. Us as the listeners learned what Joe Parks, all of them, do when they don't want to get up there and tell the truth about an album or a person. They'll say they didn't hear about it, or this one is Parks.
That's what it is.
The album just came out yesterday. I didn't have a time to sit with it. Couldn't really get it. I was on a flight. They'll give you all these excuses why they couldn't consume it. But let it be something that they really fuck with. It'll be the same circumstances. The album just came out yesterday. Parks be like, no, I gave it 3 or 4 listens. That was... They sleepers be like, yo, I couldn't stop listening to this. Oh, my God. But, yo, you heard that, Clinton? No, I didn't actually have the time. I plan on checking. And then they say, I'm going to tell you how I felt. And never get back to it. We as the fans have deciphered that to mean they thought they listened to your album. And they thought it was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to fucking burn a bridge because I'm not going to get to my nothing motivation. But you know what it is. They're not trying to burn that bridge. So they want to pretend that they consumed that content when they know they didn't. Or they just say, I didn't. Because how can I get mad at you for not having the time to listen to my album? I could get mad at you for saying it's garbage. So for a while, they started doing that. All, and I'm talking about not just random shit.
Yeah, everything.
It's like flagship albums that if you're a music podcast, you have to for the culture. Like, there's so many albums that I listened to for the, like, I sat here with you and we tried to listen to King Von for the culture. So I can get up here and tell and give you an honest review on King Von. So as a podcaster or a journalist and you're in this hip-hop space, you have to consume hip-hop.
Correct.
To give your fans your take on it, because that's what they're here for. So it's niggas like fucking Dirk dropping albums. They talking about the, well, they did listen to the Future and the Drake combo, but it be big albums like that where they like, oh, I didn't find the time. But that SZA that she dropped on SoundCloud though, not even an official release. They be talking about niggas like Daniel Caesar.
Yeah.
Like niggas that know, they're not on anybody's radar. They're awesome if you know shit. But when it comes to like these big budget projects, they be like, I ain't got time. And then Rory, he be trying to pod. Rory, he be shooting. But he's not black, so his jokes don't land right. He gotta be way too safe. And when Joe doesn't
now, Rory
agree,
was one of the main hooks for me when I first started listening. Because I like dry humor. And
yes.
And then,
I agree.
Like I was just saying, just hearing like certain geographical references coupled with that humor, like that's what hooked me to the pod.
You know what makes me not like Rory though? You remember what Jason Lee was saying about Rosenberg? You're mm-hmm. a visitor. My nigga, don't care how many rap songs you know, how many black friends you have, how connected to this shit you may feel, this is my shit. You're never gonna be that. I don't care how cool
you try to
preface yourself.
I feel that.
So a lot of it, so when I, with that in your mind, think about all of the jokes that Rory makes. He treads the line because he knows what he can and he can't say. A lot of Rory jokes would be so much funnier if he could just say nigga.
It'd be that way though.
A lot of Rory jokes would be funnier if he could, because you know he know what, you know what Rory thinking and what he probably say to Joe, but what he can't say because they gonna fucking drag him. And then that started getting annoying to me because I'm like,
and then just being from Jersey City and knowing how white people from Jersey City give it up. But it's just funny.
So me feeling like that about Rory make me feel like, nigga, you're not authentic. You're not authentic. Because a real nigga...
I don't know. I wouldn't say that.
Nah, because a real nigga... If you want to say nigga, say it. Because what's going to happen? You're going to have a backlash. But who fuck with you still going to fuck with you. And guess what? the most of the people that fuck with Rory, listening to Rory like that, they expected him to say nigga. They just acknowledging that he not because of the space that he in. And like, I get that, but real niggas do real things. And you have so much to say about my culture. And it's not your culture. And then I feel like that's why Rory had Sam. Sam was like, what, Guyanese or some shit like that? Rory, like, goes out of his way, in my opinion, to make himself valid in a space where he knows that as a regular white man, he cannot be valid. So he does things and says things and roles with people that make him acceptable. You can't accept Rory by himself, but you can accept him if he come in a party with Sam. You can accept him if he come with Maul. You can accept him if he come with Joe. But what's going to happen if he come by himself and one of his white boyfriends? And you don't know about his affiliation with everybody else.
I don't know, because being from that area with one thing I say about Jersey City, it's one of the most diverse places in the world. So, and then at the same time, it's still hood. So I'm not speaking for nobody, but it's just it might be a little bit different in the sense that you get a lot of thorough niggas from a lot of different backgrounds. That's all I'll say.
So what I can get from this little back and forth that we just had as it pertains to Rory and Maul is you enjoyed the podcast with them there.
I did.
I enjoyed the podcast with Rory and Maul there too. However, I never
up
liked
until,
Maul.
I never liked I'll say them. I did up until a certain point.
Me too.
It was a couple of... I don't really know.
I never enjoyed Maul as a podcaster, though. He's not good. His takes don't make no sense. He's ignorant. He's stupid. He say dumb shit. Like him saying, if you're over 40 and you ain't got no kids, your plumbing broken. Or, like, he just has... And he's always talking about how he's built and where he's from, but he used to be in the Harlem Boys Choir. There's, like, a lot of things with Maul that don't correlate with me. Like... You can't talk about how you got it out the mud when we all know who your brothers are. Biggs is your brother. Hip hop is your brother. So them niggas are the ones that introduce your family to wealth. Do not act like you were hugging the block. That's something that your brothers did, and you might be hood adjacent, but you're not that way. And he gets up there and he plays a tough guy. You're not gonna tell me that you were selling bricks in the hood when your brother is a third owner of Rockefeller Records. You're not going to tell me you're doing all this crazy shit when you used to be in a Harlem Boys Choir. And you're damn sure not going to tell me that you're a kingpin when you used to be Joe Budden's road manager. Miss me with that shit.
That shit after I started listening.
Like Maul likes to, like, the cloth that I'm cut from. Niggas that I be around. The shit that I be doing. You can't even come around me and talk like that. That's how Maul talks. Nigga, you're a bitch. What are you talking about? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, like Maul ain't a grown-ass man, like he won't hit somebody that's violating him. But the way that he be trying to come across and talk is like he was cutting bricks up and he was standing on the corner. He was doing all this wild shit. He getting on with his niggas. Like, there was even a time where he was on his podcast talking about, I don't know why Joe Budden be talking like this. I remember I had to shave him. He don't want to talk about when I had to get my niggas and come and shave him. Like, you had to save Joe Budden from drama. Like, he acts like a real tough guy. Like, he acts like...
I haven't listened to the Rory and Maul joint. But part of the reason, too, is like, part of the reason I stopped listening was because when they started doing the two episodes a week. I was fucking with it because...
Spotify had them doing three.
I was fucking with it because... At first, I was fucking with it because, like, during that period of time, I was working a lot of overtime on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and it'd be situations where, bang, I could bang out the job. And
they do make your work go by faster. That's another reason I do this. It gives you entertainment and engagement when the times move.
It got to a point where my lifestyle... It just became too much content. You know what
I'm saying?
Yes.
And that was actually one of my talking points that I had. So I'll skip to it. They got Patreon. And I explained to you what Patreon is, right? It's like basically...
Yeah, I kind of
like
know. I'm a little aware of Patreon.
It's like YouTube. I'm just imagine a YouTube channel that you have to actually pay to be a member of. And if I set up the Patreon, I get to not only make tiers, but I get to, as the owner of the content, decide how much I want to charge for each tier. So I might have a $5 tier, $10 tier, $20 tier. Joe Budden, I think I'm getting it right. His lowest tier is probably $25, and it's like, I don't even know what it's called. And he has like friends of the show. He has like these different tiers for his Patreon from 25. I think it goes all the way up to 100. And I know one of his most newest tiers, you get to email him ideas. And if your idea is spicy, they might call you. So they're basically paying to give Joe Budden and Ian their ideas and hope for a phone call. They ain't getting paid for this. Nothing if their idea gets used. You just may get your idea chosen for it to be a Patreon piece or something that they'll bring up on the podcast and actually call you. And that tier costs $50 a month. He has the Friends of the Show tier. And on Patreon, overall, he drops maybe damn near 5 videos a week. Another issue I had with his Patreon, besides it being repetitive, and one of the forms of repetitive I mean is, like, for example, everybody's used to this backdrop of the Nothing Podcast besides a couple of other pictures I've added. And I give that to them for free. If they're paying me, I could at least record that paid footage in my dining room or something. Why would you want the same ambiance that you get for free that you're paying? Something needs to be different besides the fact that you talking to Instagram models and strippers and shit. Like, that doesn't make it any viable. And he has Sue Surf, and I ain't gonna front, some of the Patreon footage be good. Like, he started something called The Journey, which they never finished, which was him and Ian having a candid discussion about Joe Budden's career from the beginning, blah 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 blah. Never finished it. My final gripe about Patreon, besides the repetitiveness and the incomplete content, he started putting out the content for free on YouTube. People were like, oh, well, he's not putting the whole episode. I don't care if you're putting 5 minutes. If I'm paying you $50 a month for access to this content, why are you uploading it for free on YouTube? They say, well, he's trying to get people to sign up for Patreon, but they listen to his podcast. Where he keeps on saying Patreon, 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 Patreon. So why would he have to then give you free content of what people are paying for if people not really paying for it like he acting like? That bag ain't what he's saying it is. So he feel like if he could show you it, you'll be willing to impulse buy Patreon. Because he has, you know, tiers as low as $20 or whatever where you can still get the content. But then what does it become? I'm getting 10 to 15 hours of Joe Budden content a week. Nigga, that's a part-time job of listening to you in the same room with the same niggas talking about the same dry content with the same backdrop and Park's knees. Why? But he started a network. The Joe Budden Network. And I'm not a Tasha K dick rider. By any means, that's Auntie Tasha. I respect what she do, but I gotta give her a shout out for what she said about Joe Budden when she did some coverage on him. She said, motherfucker, stop saying you got a network, nigga, that's YouTube. I got that. Nigga, that's YouTube. You don't got BET, MTV, Revolt, VH1, but he walks around like, because you upload other people's podcasts on your YouTube channel, that you have a network. Now, the concept is dope because you're trying to put people under your umbrella, and you know how Joe Budden be talking about ownership. So one of the caveats that he likes to brag about is everybody on his network owns their podcast. He don't own them. Whatever, that's dope. Karen Civil podcast is like suspended indefinitely. She has not had an episode in months. Even before Joyner Lucas put her all out there and she was like news, she had not released an episode because a person named Jesse Wu went on a Tasha K show and exposed her for stealing her whole podcast name and everything from someone else. To this day, Karen Civil has me blocked on Twitter because I was tweeting about the coincidence and the fact that you go on a hiatus and now someone is doing an interview talking about how you stole the IP, which is intellectual property of someone else's podcast. Your podcast is supposed to be called See the Thing Is. Their podcast was something, See the Thing Is This, or something like that. And they're saying you're taking their whole concept. Your podcast is trash. Nobody really listens to it. Doesn't really get no views on YouTube. And you go away. Fine. Thank you. Then Joyner Lucas come out with his shit and exposing how you robbed him.
Yeah.
That was a crazy situation. Clubhouse on fire. YouTube on fire. Everything on fire.
That was crazy.
That was a crazy time. Cameron coming back out talking about, I tried to tell y'all she did that.
Yeah, that whole thing was...
What does Joe Budden do? Get on his podcast and defend her. I didn't know if she did this. I'm not privy to that. That's the... When me as the listener, that was the day I checked out of the Joe Budden podcast, that episode. I didn't finish that episode. I could not believe it. I was disgusted. Because for me, if your point is the Karen that you know is not what is being depicted in the media, it's very easy to convey that then move on without riding dick and basically justifying what she did. Not only did he justify what she did, this nigga said basically getting fucked is a part of the game. New niggas get fucked every day. You should read your contract, blah, blah, blah. You get your weight up, not your hate up, and then eventually you could do better. This is basically, in essence, what he's saying.
But that, I haven't listened since, I can't even tell you. But from when I listened, that sound like that goes against everything he's speaking.
Exactly. Of. That part, you got to it before me. But then he acknowledges maybe she did do this, that, and the third. That's a part of the game, but that's not the Karen I know. Like, this is literally what this nigga is saying. Okay. Like, justifying awful treachery and bullshit multiple times because Cameron came out. There's a video of Cameron that y'all could go watch on YouTube where he's actually on the phone with Karen. Like, why you steal this money from my nigga? And she said, because I got to do what I got to do. Cameron also went on Drink Champs and told Nori that Karen Civil's a thief.
Mm.
Because Karen Civil used to work for Dipset back in the day.
Mm.
When people ask people what Karen Civil do, you gotta think about it. You gotta conjure up an occupation. That's how you know it's sketchy. She got me blocked to this day on Twitter for basically saying, like, yo, you and Joe Budden is whack. Like, y'all do some phony ass shit. And she basically accused me of pushing a narrative and trying to say some shit because I got a bitch ass 2,400 followers on Twitter, so she think I can convince a whole bunch of people that she ain't shit. So she basically blocked me for trying to quote unquote push a fake agenda about her robbing Joyner Lucas and being a piece of shit and Joe Budden being a piece of shit for supporting her. When I don't care if you're friends with a piece of shit. I'm friends with pieces of shit. But when they do shitty shit, I don't get on my platform and say, yo, niggas get shitted on every day, B. I'd be like, yo, see, that was fucked up, nigga. I don't know what the fuck, yo. I don't fuck with that, but that nigga can rap. That nigga, yo. And then I'll move on. But the way that nigga not only sucked her dick, the other niggas, the nigga that looked like fucking weirdo-ness on Ice. I'm gonna really say, I don't even want to talk about this because y'all already know what I'm about to do. Like, they letting you know they're gonna be biased. They're not gonna be objective to any of this. They don't care what kind of facts you present as it pertains to her being a thief. They gonna suck her dick. I checked out of the podcast that day. Because, like you said, he stands for the artist, the creative. Go get what you own. Don't let him rob you. He be trying to get game. That's what got me into the podcast. But now this is what you're saying is okay because you're friends with her?
I don't know. No, I wasn't there.
His new co-host. So now Rory and Maul gone. Now he got Ish and Ice. You know who Ice is because you followed him on Twitter for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I followed him on Twitter.
Do you still follow him?
Yeah.
You like his tweets?
Sometimes, but to be honest with you, I haven't really been on Twitter as much as I used to be. Like, I go on here and there.
I'm going to combine these two points together. Do you think Ice is an elitist?
define elitist?
Thinking that you're better or superior than your counterpart because you have the newer version of the same item that they possess. Like, you have, like, okay, you might feel like you need to drive a Mercedes because Mercedes is this, and you need to drive a Maybach. You will never drive a Honda or a Hyundai, a Volvo, because that would be considered, that would be considered low, pour your own troubles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Ice is the type of nigga, I need the new iPhone the day it comes out. I need the new blah, 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 blah. But the weird shit about Ice, which makes him an ignorant, stupid-ass nigga, is he feels like that for only things that pertain to him and things that he likes. There are people that are way above his tax bracket that think his things that he like is dumb. Like, for every brand new iPhone you bought, some niggas got some space-age shit that you ain't even heard of yet. And by the time you've heard of it, they got the new one. Cheers.
Cheers.
The whole idea that I originally came up with this concept of this podcast is because Ice was on Twitter tagging me and shaming me and sicking his followers on me because I told him him constantly dissing people who don't have a PlayStation 5 is getting old.
Well then, yeah, that's elitist, but that's also, like, I don't know. You know how I feel about, like,
he also tried to tell his fans that I wasn't a fan because I mentioned to him that I stopped listening to the podcast, that Karen Civil episode. So he basically gave his followers and fans a green light to troll me and try to disrespect me, dox me, and do all that weird shit on the internet. Yeah, when I'm, like, the biggest fan.
That Twitter shit be weird.
And he's been, and I've been following him, and this is not the first time we've corresponded. So he already know my body. He sees me in Ian's comments. He sees me in the Discord. Like, nigga, you know that I'm a fan. I'm DJ exclusive everywhere I go. You know that I'm a fan. But because I'm basically calling you out for, like, yo, stop shaming your fans, because the way it actually happened, for me to give full context, one of the fans of the show posted a picture on Twitter of them in their house watching the Joe Budden podcast on TV. And their caption was, finally home from work, relaxing, watching the pod with my guys. Something like that. Just basically paying homage to the show, showing us all that he's watching. What does Doofy Face say? Is that a PlayStation 4? He, like, quote retweets it. Yeah. Is that a PlayStation 4? Because the dude had a PlayStation 4. Like, I don't see how the PlayStation 4 is relevant to anything. This is what Ice does. Ice gets on Twitter and berates and trolls people for not wanting to pay double the price. And this is the reason why Ice trolling people over PlayStation 5s bother me. Because you're not a video game nigga. I'm not even a video game person like that, but I am more into buying new things than you are. So let me give you some context. My mom offered to buy me a PlayStation 5 for Christmas the year that it came out. Mm-hmm. My mom went to Black Friday. She waited in line. She tried to get me a PlayStation. They were not available. She had all the notifications and all that shit coming to her phone, my phone, for when they were popping up online. My mom tried to obtain me a PlayStation for almost 2 years. Like a year and a half.
Damn.
Because even when she wasn't actively looking for it, she kept on reminding me, I owe you a PlayStation 5. That's why I got this chair for Christmas. This was basically a substitute gift, because my real gift was supposed to be the PlayStation 5. Mm. And my mom was really busting her ass on some Tickle Me Elmo shit to get me the PS5, but she couldn't find it. Then she sent me a link one day to StockX. I don't know if you know about it. It's like mostly a resale site where people buy shit and then resell it to you. It's like the black market eBay. That's what I call it. My mom sends me a link of the PlayStation. Now, mind you, PlayStation 5 comes in two ways. You can get the one where you can put the disc in, or you can get the digital one. And as you see, I have PlayStation Now, and I like to download my games and stream my games. So I don't need to pay the extra $100 for the one for the disc. The digital one is only $3.99. My mom sent me a link for it for $8.50. on StockX. And the one of the main reasons that PlayStation 5s and the new Xbox have become unavailable is because they be having these like robot computer shits, algorithms that they program. So as soon as they are available on Walmart, their little program robot buys all of them. And now they get shipped to you, whatever you bought them with all your algorithms. And now you're selling them brand new on StockX for double the price because you know they're not available at your Best Buy.
That's crazy.
I'm materialistic. I think that it's safe for me to say that about myself. I like what I like. But I can also say I'm not overly materialistic. I'm materialistic as it pertains to my joys in life. My music.
Word.
I don't go out all... I eat good and I have mad shit that sounds good for my music. But other than that, I'm a minimalist. And I can say that about myself. So I'm not going... My dusty ass PS4... Was I playing 2K22 today? Was I playing 2K? Did it look good? Did it really look like they was really busting my ass like a real NBA game on TV? When you was playing God of War, was that blood splashing?
Listen, I got a PS4 Pro. I know how that shit is.
And guess what? Your PS will look better than mine because that's a... My Pro stopped working.
Mm.
And when I brought it to GameStop to trade it in, all they had was the regular one. So I traded it in for a regular one, PlayStation like card, so I can buy games on my thing because the Pro was worth more than a regular one. So they gave me the regular one, and they gave me like a PlayStation Plus card so I can download games off the store. But like I say all that to say. My comment to him was like, you really need to stop shaming your fans because they don't have a PlayStation 5. Because first of all, these ain't your fans. You didn't build the... I didn't say all this part, but my perspective in my mind when I typed that was you did not build the Joe Budden podcast. Rory, Mom, Marissa, and Joe Budden built the Joe Budden podcast. You got suckered into a job, which he admitted on air. He basically said Joe asked him to come record and then didn't let him stop. Didn't explain the circumstances that they were actually replacing Rory and Maul. He asked him to do a favor as a friend. Like, I'm asking you right now.
Mm.
But didn't actually say, And Joe admitted that he pays Ish and Ice the equivalent of half what he was paying Rory and Maul. Meaning, what Rory was getting, split it in half, that's what he pays both of them. Half of what Rory was getting. So you work on a discount. To this day, I don't know whether or not Ice trolls about working at Foot Action. I don't know if that's a troll. But if it's real, you really work at a sneaker store disrespecting niggas for not being...
That's actually pretty funny.
And then he said something back to me. Where he's like, if you don't got a PlayStation 5, just say that. He said something on those lines to me. And I said, because I could have a PlayStation 5, because like I said, my mom, who ain't rich by any means, but I could say my mom ain't worked in 8 months and we ain't missing no meals, ain't nothing wrong around here. My mom's fine. I told him I'd rather invest in drum machines. At that time, I had just bought a $550 drum machine from Roland that was on back order. I canceled the order, but I did spend my money to buy it. I just wasn't going to wait. Because I bought it in November. They talk about I'm not getting it until July. You got me fucked up. I'll buy it in PC. Because I was already patient waiting this long. I canceled it in March. That's another story, another time. And then, so what Ice does... No, one of his fans on his page, I always pin one of my beats to my Twitter. I had a beat pinned and they said, they quoted my beat in the comments and they said, well, maybe you should have bought the PlayStation 5. Like trying to say my beats are whack. Why am I buying drum machines? Da, 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 da. They ran my comments up. Like that beat wasn't really doing good on Twitter. It had like maybe 120 views. I came back, that shit was at 1K views on Twitter. 2 days later, somebody was in my inbox asking me for a lease. So you hated on me.
I ain't mad at that.
You hated on me. You tried to troll me and act like my beat was whack. But I ended up selling it off of your platform. And really, all I did was say, yo, these are your fans. Like, people that, like, pay their money to listen to you. And you're disrespecting them because they don't have a PlayStation 5. And he does that about other things. But it's most prevalent with the PlayStation 5.
Mm.
I also believe the Rory and Maul, Karen Civil, and then Ice on Twitter is contributing to the downfall of the podcast, of the Joe Budden podcast. Then what else on my list? Ishbanga that beat dad. You can't talk all that fatherhood shit, Joe, and know for a fact that you're sitting next to someone every day who is not paying child support and you're paying them through illegal shell companies and all this other shit to avoid the baby mama drama. The nigga got arrested and couldn't record an episode and went viral, his mugshot, everybody talking about it. You deleting posts out the Discord and out the Twitter and off and out of the Reddit because you don't want people to know that Ice got arrested. People knew his real name. Even Ice, even Ish himself got on the show saying, I didn't even know people knew my real name. Yeah. I'm just a little... Yeah, niggas know who you are. Your baby mom went on Twitter throwing all your business out in the street that you're not paying her. And then Ish get on a show, justify your baby mama this. I'm not seeing my daughter. Why should I do that? But at the end of the day, this is your responsibility. You going to Belize. You got bad bitches. You going all these exotic vacations because you're talking about it on the pod. But then your baby mama's talking about you don't pay child support. And these two niggas is sitting there cock-cock-keying with you. And Ice talking about, I love my daughter this, my daughter that. Joe talking about raising little Lex and how him and Trey came a long way. And I was outside for them diss tracks that Trey put out for his daddy. I was outside for that. Y'all wasn't outside for that. Y'all remember when Joe Budden's son put out actual diss tracks to his own father. Think about that. But they came a long way. They're in a different place now. Even Joe be on the podcast talking about he never got Father's Day gifts. Because you ain't shit. Last thing, and not last, but not least, the Slaughterhouse incident. I really think even before Crook and Joel album, I think the Slaughterhouse incident kind of contributed to the downfall of Joe because there are so many Slaughterhouse fans that want him to rap, but he continues to get on that podcast and act all great and holier than thou and talk about how he is retired and he not going to rap no more. And can't nobody get him in the booth, ain't no beat hard enough, nothing, da 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 da. And how he got bars for everybody, can't, like, he's the best. Don't get it twisted, Joe could rap. But you have not proven yourself in a commercial space that you can talk like you talk as it pertains to yourself musically. Then you act like a drama queen, a Slaughterhouse dissembles. Fast forward back years to the future, we got Joel and Crook doing what they doing, him and Royce acting like bitches. Now, as a person that been there from the beginning, who's the common denominator in all of this shit?
I mean, they was all there from the beginning.
But who can you say
what
is
you mean, like,
breaking the pod?
Well, the whole thing is from Joe, some saying he don't want to rap.
No, but besides that, why is Joe Budden podcast falling apart?
Oh, the podcast? Like I said, I don't know. I haven't been listening lately, so I haven't... I don't know. I don't got insight on that side.
Okay, that's fair. But I can tell you this. I blame Joe Budden that the Joe Budden podcast is falling apart. I blame Joe Budden that the networking shit... I used to be a big Joe Budden stan, ride his dick, and when him and Charlamagne was going back and forth, and Charlamagne kept on saying, it's you. You're only worth what you can negotiate. How you handle business, blah, blah, blah. I kept on saying, you and Joe are not the same. You work for iHeart. You work for MTV. Like, I'm saying, I'm basically echoing the same shit that Joe was saying. But in hindsight 2020, maybe Charlamagne is more so suited to align himself with iHeartRadio or something else. But his business model is good enough for him to not be burning bridges, and these multi-million dollar conglomerates want to work with him. Whereas, nigga, you got YouTube and Patreon. I got that. If you never, and he hates that people talk about, oh, pump it up. He hates that. But if you never recorded that song, because I can't really say the podcast is what gave you relevance in a space that you couldn't get it as an artist. And as dope as you think that you are and you want to be, you can't compete with the same niggas that you critique. And now you got these pool putt ass niggas making your actual loyal fans, like a person like me, turn their back on you. At what point will you say, I'm bugging? Everything that he had going on is not happening. No standard of the culture on Revolt. What happened to that deal with Puff? You get on that podcast, suck Puff dick all day, but where's your show on Revolt? The pull up. You was recording that on your own. That's gone. Your Cash App sponsor, gone.
Puff came back recently, I think.
Yeah, he did an interview with Nicki Minaj and I refused to watch that shit because, nigga, why? You had a favor in your pocket from the last time you and her linked up and y'all did that bullshit. You went on her show and she went on your show. You had a favor in the pocket. You need some new content. Nicki been quiet for a while. You got a Nicki exclusive, but it's garbage because nobody is buying into the wholesome Nicki. Everybody already knows what she about. So it's not working. Nothing he does anymore is working. The Joe Budden podcast, just he keeps on having episodes. And I've been predicting long before this that the podcast cannot go another 5 years. He got about 1 to 2 more years of this shit. He barely hanging on. Niggas is watching Drink Champs. Niggas is listening to $1 million worth of game. I don't personally listen to that. But I know niggas are listening to Gilly and Waylo. And every person that he put on steps on him and does better than him. Savon. This nigga used to pour you water. He's at HBO, head of their podcast department. Why is that not you? Bridget Kelly and Mandy left his little YouTube network. They got a $1 million bag to go someplace else for with their podcast, so they left. Olivia Dope, who
That's
was on
crazy.
Olivia Dope, Ben quit. Said Joe Budden sexually harassed her. Blah blah blah. She quit. Karen Civil podcast has been on a timeout for months, and no new episodes, ain't nothing popping. And when it was popping, it wasn't getting no views. So it's back to just you and this cartoon that you don't use. Now he's going on a tour. He got 4 cities on a tour because Rory and Maul went and got them 10 million, they say. And doing a live show. I don't know what it is, but what does he got to know for him to know it's over for him? That shit over. That JVP shit over. That shit done. You held on, my nigga. You held on, Joey. You held on. You held on. Is there any last words that you have for Joey or any of the fans of Joey before we play round 2 of this game?
Nah, cause I think for me, the ending of my listening was a little bit different than yours, but at the same time, like, I do understand that, like, burning bridges and rubbing people the wrong way and all of that shit is a real thing. And I don't know, I wasn't there.
I gotta also say what you just said. You stopped listening before me, but you stopped listening for one of the reasons that I stopped listening to too much of the same. The repetitiveness and too much of it. Like, if you're dropping 2-3 hour two, three-hour episodes a week. That's 6 hours, nigga. That's a part-time job.
Yeah. That's why I was listening to it during work. Once I wasn't working as much overtime, my time was just allocated to other shit.
Exactly. And that's another thing. Joe Budden does not make the type of content that people necessarily want to consume in their free time. They want to use it as background noise. That's not necessarily a good thing. Mm. When you're talking for 3 hours, you want people to engage and to be listening to it. You don't want it just to be in the background.
That's true.
You're giving me way too much content, and then it's repetitive. It's just too much. And he said it out of his mouth. Nowadays, we are basically arguing for the consumer's attention. Because everybody's a podcaster. Everybody's a content creator. Everybody's a YouTuber. And they're all talking about the same shit. So you're needing everybody to listen to you over that person. It's a lot.